Good afternoon. It's Paul, and it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's January 5th, Sunday, January 5th, 2014. For the crinkling. I'm trying to do something with my recorder. I have a high-tech system for keeping the snow from melting into the workings, the little gears and flywheels. We'll hope this works and doesn't sound too strange. It's a Ziploc bag. That's it. That's my high-tech solution. The snow is pouring down. We paid a neighbor kid to shovel our whole walk, and he did a great job, but an hour later there are 2 inches of snow on our whole walk and all the sidewalk in front of our house. So we made an arrangement. I didn't quite get to vote on this. Grace had already told him to go ahead when I was going to suggest that he come back when the snow actually stopped. But that may be some time from now. So it's probably better to do it piecemeal. But we're going to pay him again later to take some more off, I guess. It's snowing a lot. So this is a winter storm coming through. And yeah, this is Michigan and it's winter. And I've lived in Michigan for 23 years, something like that, and so another winter storm is not such a big deal, but there's something strangely ominous about this one. It's because I think even the weather forecasters are a little freaked out because they're looking at the pattern on the maps, their radar and satellite and all that, and it looks like the swirling vortex, like a giant tornado of cold air that normally sits up in the Arctic above the North Pole somewhere, has slid off and is coming down here to hang out across the Midwest, upper Midwest and east. And that's unusual. So the fact that we're having a storm with a lot of snow, that's, you know, that happens. But the fact that they're predicting temperatures here to be ...11, 12, 14 below zero, something like that, that's unusual. And this is not the epicenter of the cold temperatures. I think the last I checked, the prediction for Chicago was that the high on Tuesday would be 11 below zero. The high. So that's what people are freaking out about a little bit, especially given that it was only that I think some regions are just getting power back on from the power outages that happened over Christmas. We have kept power, thank God. But a lot of people didn't have power for a long time, a week or more. If we lose power this week with temperatures well below zero, we're looking at frozen pipes. I'm not sure we can keep that from happening with our, even if running water and maybe building fires in both the upstairs and downstairs fireplace to try and keep the crawl spaces heated. We may be looking at frozen pipes, and that would be an expensive mess. I've become keenly aware of expensive messes recently. Just yesterday, was it yesterday? It must have been yesterday. No, Friday. Pippin, our 2 3/4-year-old, managed to somehow turn all the taps on in the upstairs bathroom. He didn't even block the drain, like it wasn't even closed, but he turned both taps on full blast, and I guess the water they put out slightly overwhelms the amount of water that will drain away. I guess the drain is just slightly slowed down. And I had been noticing that it was running a little slow and putting like enzyme cleaner down it, which sometimes will help if you give it a few treatments. But apparently it was still slow enough that if he turns on both taps all the way and leaves, even though there's a like an overflow drain and all that, it goes down the same pipe. Anyway, Grace, I was in the kitchen. I was doing something, I forget what, and went into the library, and I heard the sound of water rushing, like trickling, and it was strange because it didn't sound like it was in the pipes, like in the sewer pipes or where you might usually hear water flowing. It sounded like it was inside the wall. And Grace had just stepped into the basement to go down and get something, some food out of the pantry, and she came rushing upstairs because there was, in fact, water pouring down the wall in the basement. Anyway, so I rushed upstairs, and there was like an inch of water in the bathroom. The space heater sitting in the middle of this running electric space heater sitting in the middle of this pond. Water was flowing out of the room across the hall carpet. The bathroom is linoleum. Anyway, it was a mess. The heater's on a ground fault interrupter, so I wasn't too worried about being electrocuted. Also, the feet of it aren't conductive, so I was able to just reach in and shut that off without too much worry. But yeah, and then got basically every bath towel we had up there and trying to soak up some of the water. It was dripping through the floor into the library underneath. Fortunately, not onto any bookshelves, so no books were destroyed or damaged. Anyway, we got that soaked up. Turned the space heater all the way up and brought in a Vornado fan and got that going, and the room got dried out. The water stopped dripping through. It doesn't look too bad. Like, I'm hoping there isn't a lot of water trapped somewhere inside the floor or the wall. I hope not. The last thing we need is like black mold. As for the carpeting, we were trying to dry it out. It was just so wet that someone suggested we should just pull it up, at least temporarily. So we just took it out. We just took out a section of the carpet that was wet. And it's going in the trash because I don't think we can get it dry and replaced. I think it's just wrecked. So anyway, so that floor is kind of damaged, but it's not, you know, the previous owners raised 5 kids in the house. It wasn't the first time it had been wet, you know, the floor showed more than one possible incident of water damage, but wasn't really in that bad shape. So it's also another reason to have carpeting there is that it helps insulate the house between floors. Because as soon as we took that out, we can feel cold from downstairs coming up through the floor. But this actually is kind of a good thing for a case like this, because our house is not very airtight. Like, it's not modern construction. There's lots of cracks and crevices. And given that the air is dry and we're running dehumidifiers in the basement, and a couple of them actually, and you know, forced air heat, I'm not that concerned about mold. I think that it will all dry out quickly enough that even that ridiculous amount of water will all dry out quickly enough that we're not looking at mold. I think if we had left the carpet in, we could be. But anyway, it's never a dull moment. I was trying to work, you know, and I came down to scrounge some food, and then this turned into a crisis. Pippin is a very mischievous little boy, so he may be very difficult. He may be a very difficult one of the Potts children, because he talks very little. He seems like he's really behind, backwards in his speaking. Although he does use names and speak in sentences and whatnot, but he's devious. Like, he loves to mess with stuff and loves to see what happens when he does things. And now that he's done this, we're a little terrified that this will become like part of his repertoire of entertainment. So we're keeping that bathroom door closed up, but he may be able to open it. And there are other bathroom sinks and other sinks in the house, and I'm just wondering, you know, when he's bored, is he going to start thinking, I know, I know what I can do. I can make my parents scramble like lunatics and flood the house. He's reading too. Kind of, Grace was noticing that Veronica got an e-reader for Christmas, like a Kindle, except it's a different brand. It's Kobo. And Grace was noticing that Veronica's not really using it like we hoped, but Pippin had picked it up and he's reading it a lot. And he dove into the menus and was trying to get on the Wi-Fi. And I had deliberately not connected it to the Wi-Fi because I didn't want people to be buying books, like clicking on buy now, you know. And Grace saw him with it and then noticed that he had navigated to the Wi-Fi menu and was looking at all the neighborhood networks. And there are a few. Our neighbors have the Wi-Fi network and whatnot. And he had found that we have two networks. There's a private network I use for work, which is encrypted, password protected. And there's a public, there's one we use for guests, and I'd like for it to be public, but I had to turn it off because people were pirating stuff through it, like they'd park outside our house and download albums and stuff. We got DMCA warning letters because our cable provider tracks album downloads and stuff. Anyway, Grace noticed that he had navigated to the Wi-Fi menu and had found the Potts House guest network and was trying to log on. And that's the one he picked. So he's reading well enough to notice that that one said the Potts House guest network, as opposed to our neighbor's networks. So, anyway. Sorry, this is probably terribly noisy in the mics because it's windy and there's a lot of snow coming down. But on the plus side, I don't feel like I'm likely to slip and fall. Although, I've got my wool socks on, I've got my nice Columbia parka. My face is cold. I didn't put on anything. I don't actually have like a face mask. People wear them, but they're so uncomfortable. A lot of people out with snow blowers. This would be the day for it. So he was trying to log into the Potts House Wi-Fi. And I guess he couldn't because he doesn't know our password. And then out of frustration, he managed to do a factory reset on the Kobo. I think because he was mad. Which meant that he undid the registration and deleted all the ebooks that I had installed on it for Veronica. So that now when you power it up, you're back at the factory welcome, you know, please connect to a computer or a Wi-Fi network to begin the registration process. It took me some time to do that, install typefaces and for her and ebooks. I'm kind of annoyed. So anyway, Pippin is, he'll be three at the end of April 2014. And he's kind of a force to be reckoned with, man. I'm proud of the fact that after he flooded the house, he did not get a spanking. He did not even get any smack or anything. I was proud of my restraint. I didn't even really raise my voice with him. I'm not sure that would help. It's a struggle. It's a thing with how many kids do we have anyway? With five kids here, we're really playing the Donkey Kong with the clock speed cranked up. The degree of difficulty raised. So, and they eat a lot. So today was not atypical for a weekend day, except we slept in later than usual. I wasn't up till, I was awake a couple times to check the time and use the restroom, but I didn't really get up till almost 9, which was unusual. I had a bath and I read for a while, and Grace brought me some coffee, bless her soul, and then, wow, it was quite the blizzard conditions, I'd like to say. And I got dried off and dressed and headed downstairs to start doing typical day things, which included, it's pretty. I'm not wearing my sunglasses because there's no sun to speak of. Which included putting away dishes from last night, doing some more hand washing that I didn't finish last night, and then cooking bacon and eggs. And then Grace made a paleo. I put the griddle on the stove, which is basically a big piece of cast iron that covers two burners. And you put them on medium, let it heat up for a while. It takes a while for the temperature to really even out, and it's never completely even. Like, the middle is never quite as hot as the ends that are over the burners, but it gets pretty close. A real griddle would be cool, but and I cooked bacon on there, and pepper bacon, it's good. And Grace made this paleo pancake batter. I think it was four whole bananas, four eggs, and 5/8 of a cup, I think, of coconut flour. And he put it in the food processor. We tried the blender, but practically burned out the blender. And that was the batter. It's real thick. Might want to add a little bit of some kind of liquid, some almond milk or something, but we did not. But then I just put that on the griddle, and it made these delicious paleo pancakes. I think paleo, I don't know if bananas are truly paleo, maybe, might depend on how strict you are with your paleontology. But they were good. I was kind of a little surprised how good they were. Very high in fiber. Extremely high in fiber. Like, anyway, I won't go into more detail than that. Oh, then I fried some eggs, and I was doing this. I take pictures once in a while and post this stuff on Facebook, and people seem interested in, like, these recipes. And I fried a few eggs too. And I'm kind of like, when I do this on a weekend, I feel like a cook in a diner, because I've got a griddle. Yeah, don't have a deep fryer, but and I like it. I don't want to say like I'm complaining about this. It's a lot of work, the cleanup and everything. It's a lot of work. But I love standing at the stove, like, cooking five different things. It's really fun for me. And if no one's having a tantrum or a meltdown, and they're actually eating the food and appreciating it, I'm happy. And if they stay out from under my actual feet while I'm doing this. So, I cook eggs, fry eggs in different ways. Sam likes his eggs over easy. Yolk still pretty liquid, fairly liquid. Rocket likes them over easy. I like them. I do a thing where I crack the egg into a cup, make sure the egg isn't broken, pour it carefully onto the griddle, and let it firm up a little bit. The griddle's turned down a little lower. Medium, little below medium. And it starts to set up so that the white is still just a little liquidy. And I sprinkle a little water on the griddle and put a pan lid over it. Kind of seal it in. and leave it for, I don't know, 3 minutes or something. Check it. And when it's done, it's basically steamed. So this is like a diner cooking trick. So the egg is shiny. It's real shiny. It's basically sweat as it steams in there. And the bottom is just slightly crispy. And the yolk is standing up and it's gone. Like the yolk looks like it's white. It's become opaque with the egg white on top. And it has the texture of like butter. It's not crumbly. It's not runny like it wouldn't pour out if you cut into it, but it's just like pudding, like custard. It's soft like butter. And that's how I like my eggs. If I screw it up and it's slightly under or overcooked, I'll eat it too. That's fine. If it's real overcooked, put it in the microwave for a few seconds. Just a few seconds. But Grace hates soft eggs. Like, she only likes to eat the yolk if it has that hard consistency where it's dry and crumbly. I don't like that. I guess that's good in egg salad because it absorbs mayo. Like, a little harder in egg salad, it holds its shape a little bit. You get like chunks of egg yolk that aren't all broken up, all disintegrated. But yeah, like a hard-boiled egg that's gray or greenish and crumbly, bleh. Not good. I don't think it's as healthy for you. I have no idea what I'm talking about. So, I'm going for a walk. I haven't been getting out for my walks as much as I would like. This weather is fine. It's in the, I think it's about 22. And right now there's not much wind, gusting now and then, but not a huge amount. And more importantly, it's not super icy, so I feel like I can go for a walk. But it's been icy a lot. And I've been lazy. And we just have had, like, trying to make sure we kept tabs on the kids can be a little overwhelming. So some of the times when I felt like I wanted to take a walk, I just didn't feel like I could leave Grace with the kids. Well, today a couple of them are out playing in the snow, and she's got the baby, and when I'm done here, another two laps if I can do it, when I'm done here, I'm going out, or she's going out skiing, and I'm going in. We have cross-country skis, and we only get to use them a couple of times a year. Oh, it looks like I'm outside the house. The house looks beautiful. It's like a alpine fairyland. It's beautiful. I did so much work, so much expensive work, but it's still beautiful. I hope we don't get too much snow into the attic and into this ceiling. Sometimes the blowing snow will blow right into the vents in the attic, and then it'll melt, and I had like electrical wiring, ceiling fan lights shorting out, arcing and stuff, because melting snow blown into the attic by just the right weather conditions had was doing that. We gotta figure out how to avoid that. I don't know if there's any really good way. Snow blowing. This is a harsh, relatively harsh place to live. It's not Minnesota, but it's relatively harsh, and compared to Ann Arbor, something I don't really like about it is it always feels damp. It's like it's more humid, even in winter, and that makes it feel colder. And also, I'm just getting older. The cold gets my system down a little more. So speaking of that, in the news, we see that in Ann Arbor there are lots of people, a number of people in the hospital with a very serious flu virus with H1N1, and I think 3 people have died from the flu, even though they're in a big research hospital, who I'm sure is implementing all the best practices, the most modern medicine. I'm trying to clear some snow from my dead cat here. And that's scary. So 3 have died, and there are like a dozen more in critical condition from a flu. And I know the flu kills people, but you usually think of it as like, 90-year-old man who's broken a hip, and the influenza actually kills him, or pneumonia or something. You don't think of a dozen people, because I don't know who they are, but I'm assuming they're not all very old or very young. It's just a little scary. I think that's a virus, not a bacteria, but we hear news. So we hear news about the end of efficacy of antibiotics, and that there's still, I just can't, some of the stuff I just have a hard time believing that things are still going on, that it's still a fight. Like, the meat industry is going kicking and screaming, has to be forced to consider reducing the amount of antibiotics that they routinely feed to animals to make them fatter, to make them grow faster, and to help them survive in unnatural conditions and on unnatural diets. That's still going on. There's this thing now about these downer cows whose hooves come apart, whose like feet, are bones in their feet and hooves are coming apart, disintegrating and breaking. They're not able to walk into the slaughterhouse because they've been fed this hormone to encourage bulking them up. And I think it's Monsanto is saying it's proven safe. There's no convincing evidence that there's a problem, but yet people who operate these slaughterhouses are disturbed they're speaking to the press about the number of downer cows with walking in with what must be incredibly painful damage to their legs, lesions and crumbling bones. I just got hit in the face with a big wad of snow that fell off a tree. Great. So I think I have a feeling about 2014. 2013 was a pretty crappy year. I spent 5 months unemployed and no one close to us, no one really close to us died. We're still grieving and recuperating from the loss of Grace's mother last Thanksgiving. And the kids are down to one grandparent and their stepmother. That was a bright spot in the year, is that after we got, that was one of the good parts of the year, that after we got Benjamin home, that my stepmother, the kid's grandma Cheryl, came and stayed with us for a couple weeks. Stayed with us and helped, because Grace was, had been 10 days in the hospital with the baby and was recovering from a C-section, and Benjamin was, well, he was pretty much recuperated, but he started out with some problems, some risky health issues himself. So that was a godsend. That was like the bright spot in 2013. And the fact that I was able to start working again, even though this is an hourly contract job and it's not clear whether it'll be extended, that was so glad. I'm so glad to be working. It's kind of tedious work, and it's on the fringes of a large software project, just doing testing and code inspection rather than writing code. So I don't feel very indispensable on the project, and that makes me nervous. But with this gig, I was able to continue to earn money and work from home, so that we can basically keep living here. And that's not nothing. That's significant, because I was out of unemployment and had spent my available retirement savings and had gone through basically our checking account's overdraft protection. It's basically within days of being unable to pay the mortgage, and finally got a paycheck in. And it wasn't, it was, the idea is like, well, we should take people off unemployment because they're too cushy, they'll work harder to get a job. I had given up on my job search. Really, I pretty much given up. There was nothing I could find that was gonna pay enough, that was local, that was commutable, and no serious prospects of being moved for work, you know? So I was just like casting my fate to the Lord, I guess you could say, if you think along those lines. You could say trust in the universe and just like, okay, I'm gonna stop answering ads. I'm gonna stop talking to recruiters because it's nothing but contracts in like out-of-state contracts that just didn't pay enough for anything to be sensible, for it to make any sense, for me even to be able to afford to take the gig. That's where it is. It's like Grace and I have spoken about the recession. Businesses fucking love the recession. They love it. They're like pigs in shit. Major corporations, they're stockpiling more cash than they've ever had on hand before. Their labor costs are lower and lower. Everything is a fire sale. It's a fire sale on labor and property. So they have no incentive to change anything. I was disgusted to hear about this Boeing settlement. Machinists in Seattle, they successfully split the union. The machinists are unionized, and Boeing refused their contract deal until the machinists, like half of them, agreed to accept the offer, which included losing their pensions. And this is supposed to be a victory for Boeing. Boeing is crowing about it in their press releases. Like, wow. So what were their fiscal year profits? Just curious. But yet, their skilled workers, their machinists, they can't have pensions because that's just off the table. This has all gone downhill pretty quickly. I listened to the Professional Left podcast, and that's a partnership. It's actually a marriage. Drift Glass and Blue Gal. And I don't know Drift Glass's real name, but he talks with some experience about being an IT project worker and manager. And he's 50, I think. I think he said he's 50. And underemployed, like me. And like me, he's been unemployed and doesn't have hopes of finding a permanent position again that's a traditional job. In other words, where the employer pays for a pension, or chips in for a pension, pays for health insurance, and you have things, amenities, like paid time off. He doesn't expect to have that again, and I don't really expect to have that again either, because they don't have to do it. And that's what, you know, I can't negotiate single-handedly with Google or Boeing or Microsoft or Chrysler or Nexteer Automotive or any of these potential employers. without a union. So that's what we've lost. So 2014, what's on the horizon? It's very hard to stay hopeful. I don't have health insurance, and my income has been uneven. It's hard to predict how much I'm going to earn in a given month. Over Christmas and New Year's, I took 3 days off, two of them that I had to take because I wasn't allowed to bill hours on Christmas and New Year's Day, and one extra New Year's Eve. But that's, I lost a third of a paycheck doing that. Everything's falling harder on us. So we're having to pay to find a school that will take our boys, $500 a month. And I guess I should feel grateful that we found a school that is a Montessori classroom that is local and where they seem to thrive. So I'm happy with that. But my mother didn't have to pay for that. So she got something back that we're not getting anymore. Then I was grateful in 2013 to have unemployment coverage, WIC, and food stamps, and that was a huge help. But that's, I've used up my food benefit, my unemployment benefits, and I don't know, I think I might have to work another year before I'm eligible. Let's say that the gig I have now doesn't turn into a "we'd like to invite you on as a full-time employee" thing, but turns into "sorry, we have fewer contract positions available and our client isn't compensating us as much for staff, so we're going to have to let you go at the end of this contract." I might not be able to collect unemployment again. In Michigan, there's this debate about long-term unemployment. At the federal level, federal support to states, but I think something's missing from that debate, which is, lots of things are missing from the debate, but one of them is a lot of states don't offer that program. So they don't offer to pass through federal money to help long-term unemployed. It's also, we can't continue. Like, if they turned that, let's say that I lost my job Monday and tried to go back on unemployment and got it again, that can't continue. It's not sustainable. It doesn't pay enough. And we've used our other savings. So we'd still be pretty screwed. We'd be scrambling to try and implement one of these emergency measures like rent out our house. And I don't know how quickly we could get that doing. Get that organized. We'd be immediately talking about figuring out how we can protect against, like, avoid foreclosure if possible, you know? And that's a possibility. I could hear on Monday that, you know, they looked at the work I did over the holidays and my efficiency rate and whatnot, and they just decided not to continue my contract. So Maybe I don't sleep well. Maybe it's not surprising that I don't sleep that well. So, I'm going back to the dentist on Monday. I'll have to pay out of pocket for that. So anyway, this is the second thing. So, retirement, a pension, something my parents' generation had. And health insurance, something that I had, you know, that my family had. In 2005, my employer was paying for my family health insurance, and it was a good plan. What they covered gradually, they started billing more of a employee contribution, pre-tax, which helps some, but pre-tax contribution, until last year I was spending $480 every 4 weeks, $240 every 2 weeks. It's like, and that was still, in a way, a good deal, because we couldn't buy a plan that was that good as an individual. And now we have Obamacare, and you might think that as a liberal slash progressive, I'd be pleased about it, but I'm really not. I'm appalled. I'm glad that some people are able to get health insurance who were unable to, but I'm not glad that I think they're going to be bankrupted in the process. And not only are they going to be bankrupted, but they're going to be bankrupted deliberately with the complicit intervention of the government forcing them to buy into a private insurance system, which props up a completely dysfunctional, massively overpriced private care system. It is a disaster. And so I'm looking at trying to fit a health insurance plan for my family into our budget, and I haven't gotten on the exchanges yet, but like how much more can I stretch? We kind of bought this house in the hopes that the real estate market was kind of bottoming out, because we got a fire sale on it. But it hasn't hit bottom. Unemployment and the recession haven't hit bottom. And how much more can I afford? So let's say we might be looking at, I don't know, I haven't been on the exchanges to try and hunt for a plan, but I do know that people are saying the plans are a lot more expensive than their employer care, provided care was for them, their contribution, and they have huge deductibles. And so I don't know how to make that work. I'm broken, man. We wanted to get the house painted. It's gonna need, there's so many things that are broken. I wanted to get some shelving and some carpentry work done, some doors fixed, we have toilets to fix. I can only learn so much of this, and my time is so constrained. So, yeah, we're just a little stretched. So what's to be hopeful about? Here's what I'm hopeful about. I think 2014 is the year that no rational person, no person will be able to publicly deny anthropogenic climate change without being laughed at and turned off. That's what I hope. And if they are still waving their arms and claiming the, you know, climate gate email or whatnot, or you know, the climate's changed before, or any of these like fraudulent arguments or cherry-picked data bits, that they will, they, you know, they can go rant on, they can set up a soapbox at their local mall or something and rant all they want, but that the media will not continue to give them an outlet. Reddit has, the science section of Reddit has basically, the moderator has posted and discussed why he's banning, basically a blanket ban on climate change denial, because they're not science, and they're just quoting these hackneyed articles, essays circulating via The Blaze or The Daily Caller or whatever, and reprinting some hacks, misquoted science. So this is my hope, is that people, you know, that the sheeple will wake up. So, it's my hope that people will not, anyone who's out there saying, you know, there's no evidence for this and that, there's blah, 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 that these people will be just, they will rightfully be ignored as the basically the tribe of fools who rub shit in their hair, as Driftglass says, and people will just turn away, and they can be as loud as they want. I'm not suggesting that there should be any form of censorship, but we should talk about what censorship means. Censorship in the Constitution refers to government censorship, not the fact that their employer won't pay them anymore to publish their work. So that's what I'm hoping for 2014. But more than that, hang on. Hi. Excuse me. More than that, I'm hoping to see some leadership. And the thing is, it will not be coming from the United States, which is why much of what I'm studying about this issue is from The Guardian, from Al Jazeera, from other sources that are less corrupt, less corrupted, less bought and paid for. And that's where our hope is that we can get people off the pseudoscience and the junk science, and to recognize that that we have to change what we do, and it can't be any more articles that say you know, we have to cut our emissions by 17% by 2050. Or stay, you know, in order to avoid, to stay within the target zone of 4 degrees Celsius of warming. Or something like that. Because people look at that and they say, oh, good, that means I don't need to do anything different whatsoever. That's what that means to the person reading. No one's thinking, oh, that means I have to move, or I have to stop driving, I have to change jobs to a job where I don't have to commute, or I have to put solar cells on my roof, or something like that. They're thinking, oh, 2050, no problem. They're not thinking that it's irresponsible to write about it that way. And they're not thinking in terms of we have to do something means I have to do something. And that has to change. That has to change. Or we're headed straight into the loving embrace of fascism. Because when it gets desperate, people will beg to be rounded up and placed in camps where they will be fed. I am terrified that my children will die prematurely of hunger or disease, and that our neighbors or the people watching it on the news will think of us the way they've been trained to think of zombies. As zombies, as the living dead, as non-people, as unentities, that's where we are, that's how the narrative will play out. And so they've come to believe the people with power, the people with money, the 0.5% or whatnot, come to believe that, oh, that these are just necessary losses. We're losing some of our surplus population, and you know, that happens every few hundred million years. We have a mass extinction. But those people are not part of our tribe, or even our species. They're the living dead. Look at them. Look at their faces. The flesh is falling off their bones. Look at that shuffling walk, that shuffling gait. They have their hands out. They're begging for food. They're begging for food. They're shuffling. They can't look you in the eye. Why don't they just get a job? Why don't they just get a job? Thank God the guardsmen are here. The National Guard is here. They can just mow those people down. It's a relief to be rid of them. It's a relief to be rid of them. So how was your Christmas? 2014. Woohoo! I've got another 3/4 of a lap, and then I'm done with my walk. And let's see, what was it? 4.2 miles? No. 2.8. Yeah. 4.2 miles. Okay. That's what I'm shooting for. Even in this snow. And as we wait, the kids probably won't have school tomorrow. It's probably already been canceled. And almost certainly not on Tuesday. And even if they do have school on Tuesday, I will not be walking them to school if it's actually 8 degrees below zero, because I would go out for a brief walk in that weather. But I'm not gonna brief walk. And I don't really have, I still don't have proper pants, long johns. I've got lots of layers for the top, but I haven't yet picked out what I want to buy for the bottoms. There's some wool pants from Bean, I think I might order. They look great. They're really expensive. I might order one, but I know they will let me return them if I don't think they're worth the money. We'll think on that. Kids get their stuff first. Kids get their stuff first. I'm dodging snow blowers and neighbors with snow shovels, and I think not Stephen, what's his name? Frederick. I keep forgetting his name. Frederick, the neighbor kid who raises money for himself by shoveling walks. I think he's gonna come back later this afternoon and do some shoveling again for us. I bought a big shovel. I got two new shovels. We had a shovel, but Isaac had damaged it so much. Like, there's a metal strip on the front, and he would use it to chip ice, and he, like, broke that all apart. And so it was this rough edge on the front. It couldn't be fixed. It's just plastic. I bought two new shovels. One was a huge scoop. It's like big enough for the kids to ride in. It looks like a jog stroller, I swear. Like you could strap two children into it and push them along. Made in USA. And that's for taking large quantities of snow up like we have. And then I got another Made in USA steel, like a spade. Yeah, I'll say that word. I'm calling a spade a spade. It's like an entrenching tool. It's a narrow-bladed, short-handled shovel, which I got, the fiberglass handle, which I got to, maybe it was a wooden handle, I can't remember. I got to chisel ice off the walk. I'm just sort of nervous that this thing hasn't actually recorded anything I'm saying. Like, the light is on, and so I think it's recording, but it's happened before that I've, like, gotten home and look at the thing and it says memory error or low battery. Check, 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 check. It's still going. It's been almost like 2 hours. I've been going more slowly than usual. So, but I'm gonna be done soon. Windier and colder than my typical walks have been in the past. So, anyway, so I'm a job creator now. A neighbor kid is gonna come by. I got this spade, this short-handled, square-bladed shovel for chipping ice on the sidewalk. We ran out of ice melter, and we were out, I was out last night and we were out last week looking for buckets of Prestone driveway heat ice melter, and surprise, surprise, it turns out that all the stores around seem to be sold out of rock salt and ice melter, and I think we were lucky even to be able to buy shovels, because probably this weekend they're out of snow shovels. Here I'm going through a section. I just walked through these tracks on the last lap, and they're almost invisible. Snow's coming down at about 2 inches an hour, the forecast said. So I think that means that in the time that I will have been out walking, doing this laps and talking to you, that we will have gotten another 4 inches of snow. And I think we're looking at total like 16 inches, 18 inches, something like that. That's a lot. Now, I grew up in the Erie, Pennsylvania, and Northeast Pennsylvania, and Harbor Creek, Pennsylvania, axis by the lake, and we got lake effect snow, and I remember the blizzard of 1977 when I was 10 years old, when we had 6 feet of snow, and I remember we would typically talk about snow in terms of feet rather than inches, and I remember being ready to go to school hoping for a snow day and getting up early and my mom listening to the radio stations and finding out that nope, in fact Harbor Creek School District school open because the township had a fleet of plows that would come through. We would hear them blasting down our road in the middle of the night before school to make sure the school buses could go through, and my stepfather would get out and run the snowblower, and there was no good reason we couldn't go to school, quite honestly. But compared to now, our township and our schools and our cities they were wealthy. They were raking it in. They could pay for buses and snow plows, and people could buy gas to power their powered equipment, their buses and their snow plows, and rake it in, and they could clear off that shit, and people could go to school. I'd be standing out there with snow coming down, and because I got up and washed my hair first thing in the morning in our shower, my hair would be frozen solid, but and I would have gotten 4 hours of sleep, because that's how I rolled in high school, but I'd be going to school anyway. So things have changed. The world is changing. I can feel it. I can hear it in the air. I can taste it in the water. I can smell it. Maybe that's me. The stench of fear. Flop sweat. Fear for my children. People are out with their snow blowers. It's blinding. My glasses are fogged up. Wind's kicking up. My beard and mustache are caked with ice. I'm almost done with my walk, and I will have walked 3 complete laps of the boulevard here in Saginaw, Michigan. That's a, yeah, don't know if you can hear that. That's the sound of my beard scraping against the edge of my collar. My beard is caked with huge chunks of ice. I've got to get a picture of this. When I get inside, I've got to get a picture quick before it all melts. That's very exciting. Exciting day. It's not actually that cold. If it was that cold, I'm sweating. This is a great jacket. If it was that cold. It would be too cold for snow. We wouldn't have all this snow coming down, blowing in our faces. And that's what people are fearing now, is that it's gonna get that cold. So I'm leaning into the wind here. Hunched over. I'm trudging. Kind of panting. My face is frozen. It's a fucking winter wonderland. Fucking winter wonderland. Our neighborhood is beautiful. It's a boulevard of quiet old trees, ashes, and pines with a center divider, benches. Someone's put Christmas ornaments up on some of them have come down or blown down. But people have put bulbs, Christmas bulbs, ornaments up on the little tiny trees, the newly planted trees in the divider down the middle of the boulevard. The wind is behind me, and there's some sort of microclimates. the street is most of a mile long, and sections of it funnel the wind and sections don't. So just walking along the same sidewalk, I can be hit in the face with the wind, and then I'll come to another portion of the same sidewalk and it's died down. So I just unzipped my coat because I'm I've been out long enough that this counts as a good aerobic workout, and that's good because I haven't had one in a few days, and my health and mood and everything was really benefiting before Christmas, before the week of Christmas was really someone's not having a happy afternoon. Happy afternoon, blizzard. What was I saying? If I had to guess, I'd probably guess that he's yelling at a teenage son. If I had to guess, based on my personal experience living here, trying to get help with some of the basic necessities of living. Oh, before Christmas, I was pretty much, for a couple months, I was pretty much able to get out for a walk of at least 45 minutes every day. A fast walk, a hard walk, every day. I missed a few due to pouring rain, but not many. And so I'm looking forward to getting back into that, because this is not comfortable now. My glasses are fogged up. I can't see. My face is sopping wet with melted snow. I'm actually overheated. This is not comfortable, but I will feel better. And not just a little better. I will feel a lot better for having done it. And a lot better. I'm gonna need some water. Okay. So I hope you are staying warm. I hope you still have power. And I hope that this Arctic vortex unprecedented, record-breaking weather phenomenon here. Finds you. Wow. The path is is buried again. I couldn't even find the sidewalk. I was stumbling into the tree lawn. I hope all this finds you safe and warm and well, and that 2014 will be a good year for you. Bye, all.